The world of education becomes more fast-paced every single day. From new legislative committees focused on education to breaking news to ever-changing ideas on effective leadership, the opportunity to learn and grow never goes away. KSB knows how hard it can be to stay on top of all the information in front of us. Understanding that challenge, we're excited to announce the launch of two new podcasts, The Advocate and KASBcast. The Advocate brings you the latest news in the world of politics and education policy from our in-house experts Mark Tallman, Leah Flyder, and Scott Rothschild. With bi-weekly shows throughout the year, you will never miss what is happening in Topeka, D.C., or anywhere else political news is being committed. KASBcast is our new weekly podcast helmed by John Heim and the executive leadership team of KASB. The group will cover all things education and sprinkle in a heavy dose of humor to get your Tuesdays started right. The good news is, you're already listening to one of our new shows. If you enjoy the content and want to add another podcast to your repertoire, subscribe to KSB Live Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a kind of a new model of our KASB podcasting. It is, September 16th? You may not have heard from us for a while. That's not that there hasn't been news, but boy, the last week or so, a lot of news has hit. So we decided we wanted to talk a little bit about that. I'm Mark Tallman. I'm joined by Scott Rothschild, Leah Flyder, our advocacy team. And guys, why don't we just start with what happened yesterday? Because from a legislative viewpoint, this may be the biggest news. The Legislative Coordinating Council, which is the legislative leaders that run things when they're not in session, approved a new interim committee and an interim study, which means it's a group that will look at an issue before next session to study issues of K-12 education. I think you guys were at the State House while that happened. What's going on there?
Leah, do you want to go?
Sure. Okay. Well, Scott, House K-12 Education Budget Committee Chair Christy Williams of Augusta requested this special interim committee. Those of you who follow us closely know that Chairman Williams is the chair of the committee that, you know, due to its name, really does a lot of the heavy lifting on the House side anyway about K-12 budgets and funding levels and related topics. And so she has requested this interim committee that will meet for no more than 2 days to examine some issues around Gannon funding, school district achievement, and some other issues. I think I might turn that part over to Scott because he's got the list up in front of him.
Yeah, I'll just I'll read the bullet points as my first podcast effort. Leah, in addition to that, they're looking at the they want to know what the State Board of Education's legislative positions will be for 2022, and the State Board is actually working on those. They want to look at what happened on the recent Kansans Can Success Tour. That was the 50-city tour that Kansas Education Commissioner Randy Watson just took, and they want to see what were some of the priorities that they heard from people on that. They want to look at some of the kind of an important issue, I think, that we always debate and talk about are the constitutional roles of the legislature, the State Board of Education, and local school boards. And if they can figure that out in a two-day meeting,
good luck
more
to them.
Power to them. But obviously, this is a committee that we're going to stay on top of and cover and examine everything that comes in. I think, Mark, you've talked about how this is an opportunity where our local school people can kind of contact their legislators and get information to them that is important for them to know.
Well, Scott, I think the other day you really had the best phrase for this. Consider this the preseason game before the legislature actually gets going. You've told us what we know. There's a couple things we don't know. At least we didn't know it as of this morning when I checked the legislative website. We don't know who will be on the committee.
We know
the numbers, but not the people. We don't know when they'll meet, whether it'll be two separate days or 2 days close together. We don't know whether there will be hearings. As Scott said, there's a lot of topics they're supposed to cover. We'll let you know all of that, but I guess here's the key thing to keep in mind. The legislature, in its simplest form, wants to know what they're getting for the Gannon money. There's a lot of other issues. There's concern over COVID response and remote learning. All that's going to come up. Bottom line is, as the legislature reached agreement with the Kansas Supreme Court to try to resolve that case, and over a six-year period, add about $1 billion in new state funding, there's no question that the issue is going to be, is that making a difference? And remember, Gannon lawsuit and the Montoy lawsuit before that was really based on the idea that money matters. Money is important to closing achievement gap, helping kids. And if we get more money, we know how to get better results. Well, what the legislature is kind of saying is, okay, show us. The wrinkle that has occurred, I think, are two things that we'd ask you to all think about, and we'll certainly ask legislators to think about. Kansas went about 8 years of funding below inflation, so in economic terms, real decline in funding compared to inflation, before this six-year plan was put into place. New money started flowing in the 2018 school year. We've got test results in 18 and 19. Then COVID hit, and we're still dealing with that. So essentially, we've kind of had 2 years to begin to implement a six-year phase-in of money designed to get funding back to where it was in 2009. So I think there's a lot of things to keep in mind about where we are, what to expect, what we should measure. That's all things the committee is going to be talking about. But here's what we can talk about, and I think this is going to be our charge to our members. You need to be making sure you can tell quickly and succinctly what are you doing with the money and why, what results are you seeing that's positive, and if you're not seeing positive changes, what are you doing to address that? Partly on the state side from Gannon money, which has been increasing, and the other big question is, how are you using that other $1 billion of additional funding, which is the federal COVID aid that's being spread out over a number of years. Some districts are pretty far along in kind of their first round, really their first two rounds. Some haven't gotten as far. So I think that what's so critical about this committee is see this as an opportunity to be talking about how you're using both state and federal resources to address our student success. Does that kind of make sense, guys?
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say on that?
Well, and I think obviously our schools are doing unbelievable things to help students in this really unprecedented time. And as Mark said, this is the opportunity to share that, especially with your local legislators, because they need to know what you're doing. And if they hear from you, it means so much more than hearing from us here in Topeka. As Leah kind of pointed out yesterday, local school board members are elected officials and legislators are elected officials. And I think legislators want to hear from their local school board members about the great things that you are doing to help children in this time.
So I'm going to segue that a little bit to a couple of your bullet points, Scott. A couple things that are on there that are kind of interesting. One is kind of the state board's legislative agenda. One is talking about the 50 tour, success tour. And one of it, I think, is talking about how achievement is really being defined and measured. Okay. So I spent a lot of the last 6 weeks. I think I attended over 40 of the 52.
The
I think I've got the record. You're not far behind, Leah. Yeah, Leah, on the other hand, was going to make a game effort, but was wounded the first week.
That's right. Went down in the first action. Week of the season.
So did not get to see as many, but saw some. And I think the thing that the tour was about was trying to get some validation of the state board's direction. That I would say had like two big findings from 2015 when a similar tour was done, although only half as many stops, and that was to say we need a broader definition of student success than state tests, than academic content. We really need to be there's a lot more. The academics, as the commissioner said, are important. You've got to be able to have to read and write and do math and do those things. But there's more involved. That's part of what this will talk about. And that was very much, I think, validated by the tour. And the second part of that is if we're going to do better, if we're going to address that student achievement, so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, you know, money's part of it, but money isn't all of it. It also means we're going to have to think differently about how we set up schools, how we serve students, what we put priorities on, a more flexible making kids more relevant. I think one of the things that has really struck me is we know that there are some kids that don't move along as far as we want. There's kids who don't, you know, one of the things we always hear, you're not ready for college. Well, maybe you didn't prepare for college. Maybe you didn't think you were going to college and you changed your mind. What I think the tour talked about over and over is, you know, making kids take more classes or testing them more often or having tougher tests, none of that changes anything if the student isn't motivated to do something different themselves. And so a lot of this is saying if we're going to change results, we've got to help our young students have a better sense of why education is important, why this class is important, why I need to learn it. Now, I think what most people would agree on, it's really hard to do that without the resources to have the staff, to have the structure, you know, to make sure we can keep, you know, good manageable class sizes and pupil-teacher ratios and, you know, counselors, all those things. So money's a part of it. We do something about it. So what I think came out of this tour is apparently validation that the direction is right, validation of that Kansans Can vision that we talk about. But the 4,000 people were all invited to also just provide some comments. What should we do next? Or what is it going to take to make this happen? And so KSDE is going to be taking those 40,000-plus responses via a technology that they used and some hand-entered data as well. And they're going to be compiling that. They've got research that will look at that. So it's probably going to be a couple weeks or even months before maybe all that's pulled together. But I think in the meantime, I think it's very important that we keep this conversation alive. We talk to, I don't know, scores at least of local school board members at these stops, and we overwhelmingly heard we're on the right track. There's good things happening maybe we don't get enough credit for, but we know we've got to do more, we've got to go faster. So I think one of the advice for our listeners here is to say, you need to think about what you can do to keep those conversations going in your community and how you bring legislators into that. Because that very topic, are we going to focus only on test scores? Are we going to focus on post-secondary attainment? Are we going to talk about social-emotional supports? All those are really critical.
It has been a long 2 years since KASB's last in-person convention. We could not be more excited to gather again this year for 3 days of learning, networking, and celebration at the Overland Park Convention Center. It is not too late to sign up and join KASB members from across Kansas on November 5th, 6th, and 7th for an event that includes 2 nationally acclaimed keynote speakers, 32 incredible breakout sessions, slotted time to network with other education leaders and corporate partners, and a ton of fun in Kansas City. Almost 400 of your peers have already signed up for this once-a-year opportunity to lead, serve, and advocate with your fellow educational leaders. Make plans to join them by registering today at www.ksb.org/KSB convention.
I'm being reminded on a podcast we're supposed to share the air a little bit. So, Scott, Leah, anything you want to add to that?
I think it's going to be important, Mark, as you've said, for our board members and others to make sure they're communicating that to their legislators, particularly in those areas of social emotional growth, or you know how your local businesses and their partnerships with your school district really help student achievement, because the struggle for some legislators kind of centers around the fact that we're giving you all this money and we need hard data. We want to be able to go to your school district website and see, you know, what we're getting for that money. What, you know, they tend to focus on test scores or longitudinal data, and that's certainly a piece of it and an appropriate piece of it. But these other soft skills and the experiences and social emotional and civic engagement is harder to measure as a data point for justifying the increased school funding. But as you've mentioned, they're still incredibly important to our community members and to our business leaders as well.
Well, and I'll just share an observation from now. I only went to 33 of the 50.
Slacker.
And I think my math says that's 66%. I think that's a passing grade. And it would be a grade I would be proud of in some subjects when I was in school. But the thing that struck me on the 50-stop tour, and was just the positivity of people who attended. They were on fire. They want to get things done. They are positive, and I think it says a lot about our tradition of public schools in Kansas. I don't want to get super controversial here, but you know, there was no talk about critical race theory. There was no talk about mass, not mass, and I mean that's on everyone's mind. But you know, they just want it. They want to get the job done. They want their students. It's their kids. These school board members, you know, they think of these students as their kids, and they want to do what's best. So, you know, yeah, 4,000 people showed up, sometimes at night, sometimes early in the morning. You know, we had upwards of more than 100 in some places. We had to move the venue in Iola because so many folks showed up. So
fire marshal problem.
Yeah, there was a fire marshal problem. And, you know, as being good citizens, we obeyed the law. And, you know, it was just it was just nice to see all the positivity during a time when there is a lot of negativity. So I think it speaks well to our system and to our school board members.
So one of the themes of those and the whole Kansans Can is getting kids ready for post-secondary. And by that, it's always important to stress not necessarily bachelor's degree, four-year degrees, but some other credential, associate's degree, a technical certificate, industry-recognized credential, those kinds of things. And that was a big point of discussion this week, Scott, with the joint meeting of the State Board of Education, the State Board of Regents. You monitored that. You also watched the rest of the State Board meeting. Any highlights you want to share with us kind of about those big meetings? I think the Board of Regents is actually continuing their meeting today.
Right. Well, it's always interesting when the State Board and Board of Regents get together, and I think they all acknowledge that they probably should get together more because they come up with great ideas. And what they came up with, which I thought was interesting, was an action plan. And the main things, the main proposals they're putting on the table is they want to somehow make the first 15 hours of college credit free for students in high school. This is a proposal that has been talked about on the national stage. It's been talked about for several years on the state stage. But I think it's getting a little bit more oomph if the State Board and Kansas Board of Regents get behind it. Another interesting proposal they have is to make completion of the FAFSA in high school a requirement to graduate.
And for our non-parents, the FAFSA means or is...
You know, I've forgotten what the acronym stands
Federal
for.
Federal Application for Free Student Aid, something
yeah.
like that.
It's
student
the,
aid.
Yes, it's for federal. It's the application that high school students need to fill out to receive federal assistance in higher education. And I won't go into how difficult the... some people think it's a difficult process. Some people thought it was pretty easy, but... Anyway, it is the entrance to get into higher education for a lot of students, and their proposal is to make FAFSA completion a requirement to graduate from high school. And I tweeted it and got a lot of responses from people saying, "Good idea, bad idea." You know, what is
Scott's
this idea?
Scott's timeline blew up.
Scott, have you learned how to do a poll when you tweet?
Oh no, I can do that.
Might be something to think about. I don't know either.
And they're valid, right?
Very valid, exactly.
Plus or minus margin of error of 99%. Anyway, it's something that they're going to look at in the next few weeks and come up with a proposal, say, in the next month or so. This FAFSA requirement, as I have learned by Googling, is apparently all the rage and is being considered in some 13 states. It was approved in Louisiana. Louisiana says they have had a lot of success through this. So I think it's going to be an interesting debate, and if it makes its way into the legislature, it should produce some, like I said, interesting debate. Another issue I think I'll just kind of throw out there, and I think Kansas Education Commissioner Randy Watson, the Board of Regents CEO Blake Flanders, kind of talked about and how we need to kind of reassess what we're doing in 11th and 12th grade and make it more about preparing kids for adulthood. So reassessing 11th and 12th grade and maybe the first 2 years of college. So I think that's going to be an interesting conversation going forward. I know in my personal experience, 12th grade was kind of a wasted
Easy.
Grade, you know. It was kind of, so maybe this is something that'll come up more often. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's part of what we've all been talking about Kansans Can, helping students succeed. You know, we got to figure out ways, you know, we've been graduating kids from first to second to third to fourth for, I don't know, about 100 years. It was a system designed to churn out kids for assembly lines. I'm oversimplifying here, and we no longer kind of do that. So,
Would just note that I spend part of my morning. I'm a non-voting, but not a non-speaking part of a task force of the State Board of Education on graduation requirements. Kind of looking at that same issue. You know, instead of the 120-year-old system where graduation requirements are how many hours did you take of discrete subjects, that's so different really than what the tour and others seem to be saying, that kids need a much broader and more holistic sense of set of skills. And at the same time, many of those kids are not coming out kind of maybe with the background for post-secondary education or just the ability to navigate that access point. So I think that will be part of it as well. We'll tell you more about that in the future, but just to kind of stay on time today, let's move into I guess this was technically news that came out about a week ago, but we've been hearing more, and that is the Biden vaccine mandate, what that might mean for schools. And I think, Leah, you've been following that, kind of our federal expert.
That's right. So that was released about a week ago, and I was a little bit grateful that I was on vacation I didn't have a whole lot of access to email and cell phone, but I did see some smoke from people lighting their hair on fire. But what happened was the president is, you know, as he said, losing patience with the low rate, relatively low rate of vaccination in the country, and has released a new national strategy. And the strategy is that the president is asking, not requiring, governors to require that school employees, for instance, be vaccinated against COVID-19. He's not threatening any kind of enforcement action or penalize the states if they don't have mandates, but he is asking that states consider that, that governors consider that. The plan does require teachers at Head Start and Early Head Start to get vaccinated, and some of the folks who work at the DOD schools and the teachers and staff at the Bureau of Indian Education Operated Schools, those types of federal facilities. And that sort of rollout is going to be handled by the Department of Health and Human Services. So that probably does not affect many of our listeners, but some of you may be involved with those types of institutions, and so that is something that you're going to want to pay attention to.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say the other piece of that is while the president's plan does not, he calls for states to require education staff, teachers to be vaccinated. Another part of the plan would attempt to require that all employers with 100 or more employees require that their staff either be vaccinated or tested regularly, daily. So a big part of our discussion over the past week or so has been, well, what does that mean for schools if they have more than 100? So Scott, I think you've done a lot of research around what OSHA has jurisdiction over. Am I correct
on
that?
Thanks for putting me on the spot here. Let me dig out my law degree here, which I don't have. But as I understand it, OSHA does have regulations. Schools generally do not have to follow these regulations. So there is confusion as to whether this would apply. You know, a lot of what the president has talked about is going to be, I guess, is going to be worked through the regulation process. This may take months. I know Republican legislative leaders in Kansas want to do something.
Yeah, they said that yesterday.
In opposition to Biden's plan. But as the Senate president said, it's hard to sue a speech. So I think there's going to be a lot of, the devil's in the details kind of thing. What do the Biden regulations say? They're all going to get wrung out through the court system. So there's a lot of road ahead before we see any kind of vaccine mandates or mask mandates. And I think even Governor Kelly has said, she's not inclined to go down that path. I think politically in Kansas, that would be very unpopular.
And just staying on that theme, also this week, again, heavy news week, the first meeting of the governor's Safer Classrooms work group came out. And again, our loyal news hound, Scott, listened to all of that. So what happened there?
Governor Kelly appointed the Safer Classrooms work group. This is a group of mostly healthcare professionals, doctors, pediatricians, family doctors. It has a couple of Dr. Watson, our education commissioner, is on it. G.A. Bowie, head of USA Kansas, is on it.
The teacher representative, I believe, KNEA, I believe.
KNEA is on it. Yeah. Thank you. And one of the co-chairs of it is a school board member, Dr. McKinney. And she is the Wilson County City of Fredonia health official. She's on the Fredonia School Board. She's a doctor. I think she sweeps out City Hall, when they're closed.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, she's doing everything. And this group has been put together by the governor to meet weekly to discuss vaccination rates, mask requirements in schools, to track the virus on how it's going, to report out this information. And in the first meeting, Dr. Marcy Nielsen, who is the governor's kind of COVID coordinator, had a bunch of statistics. And Kansas is, we're trailing the national average in the vaccination rates of the eligible population, those people who are 12 and over. The national rate is 69%. The Kansas rate is 58%, so we're trailing that by 10 percentage points. So instead, nationwide, 7 out of 10 people have had one dose or more. In Kansas, it's 6 out of 10. On the national vaccination rate compared to Kansas for youth, that's ages 12 to 17, again, Kansas is trailing the national average. The national average is about 55%, and Kansas is 47%. So this Safer Classrooms work group is going to try to come up with strategies to help close those gaps, and they'll be meeting weekly and providing the governor information and the public information.
We will follow that, but Scott, I believe those meetings are available on the governor's Facebook page, is that right?
It's on
live
her,
or posted? So.
It's on her Facebook page, on YouTube, so everyone can watch these. I think they're generally carving out 1 hour for these meetings. Lots of information, lots of statistics to consume. If any school board members, I'm not sure what day they're meeting. Do you recall?
Well, they started on Monday, so I don't know whether they'll
keep
that
or not. Yeah, I'm
not
sure it's going to be every Monday, but we'll check on that.
Yeah, we'll try to keep that posted through our KSB communication. Well, we probably ought to begin to wrap up here. One thing I will kind of mention from a process viewpoint, let my colleagues join me, is that end of August, your KASB Legislative Committee developed a preliminary draft of legislative positions for next year and came up with a document where we kind of put out what we identify as some more controversial issues potentially that we would like feedback on. That's been posted on our website, but you're going to be shortly seeing a push where we will be sending out not only those documents, but a survey to kind of ask your response The committee will meet again November 7th, which is the Sunday of the KSB convention. We hope to see all of you there, of course. When the convention wraps up, the committee will meet and develop its final recommendations to our delegate assembly, which meets virtually December
16th.
16th. Thank you very much. In fact, several months from today. That's what sets KSB's position. We would just tell you, we think most of the positions are consistent with what we've had in the past, probably not very controversial, but we are asking our members to particularly reflect on, first, some curriculum mandates that have been talked about, because we know there is a lot of support and opposition for these. A requirement of a civics test to graduate, which passed last year, was vetoed. Requirement of a financial literacy component for graduation, also vetoed last year. And then we anticipate that that discussion around critical race theory, which again, we don't have time to begin to open up all of that and what it means or what it doesn't mean or how it might affect you, but we've assumed our position is basically the state shouldn't tell local boards what they have to teach or what they can't teach. But we want some feedback on that. And then finally, in the area of the health regulations, masking, all of those things, again, our kind of default position is local control. It usually is. But we've heard at least some members say, you know, we're not sure board members are the best person to make these decisions. So we're kind of asking for some feedback before the committee makes final recommendations on that. Again, all of these recommendations will have to be approved by our delegate assembly. Every KSB member has one vote. And again, we'll be talking about these at convention, but the final vote will not be till late December. Am I missing anything, guys, on the legislative committee front? And then we will also have, sorry, talking to myself, it really seems, we will be having in-person meetings to kind of discuss these and also kind of just talk about legislative and advocacy training and tips in Leavenworth and Andover. Scott, are you looking at those dates right
now? Yeah, the in-person meetings will be held from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Wednesday, September 29th in Leavenworth. And from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, October 13th in Andover. And then the online meetings will be from noon to 1 p.m. on Friday, October 1st, and from noon to 1 p.m. on Friday, October 8th. And we'll be putting out, we'll be running news briefs on our website, so you didn't have to write that down real fast.
We'd love to see you virtually or in person at those, but we also want your feedback if you can't be part of that effort, and that's why you'll be getting this survey as soon as we have it completely polished. And Leah, why don't you wrap up, kind of talking a little bit about our new initiative for legislative advocacy.
Thanks, Mark. We have a new opportunity for our listeners, and I hope you'll consider joining us. We're calling it the KASB Advocacy Network, and the clever acronym for that is CAN. Thank you very much. And our goal is really to have at least one representative from every school board that is a member of KASB, so that's 286 of you all out there. We would like to have at least one representative from each school board be a member of the KASB Advocacy Network. The members of the network are really, we hope, will be folks who are interested in the legislative process, interested in perhaps testifying, or just really increasing your skills in interacting with your local legislators, with your regional State Board of Education member, even with your member of Congress or U.S. Senator. We plan to provide some specialized training on, you know, how to testify, how to develop your sort of your 30-second elevator speech or about what you've done with your federal ESSER money or your federal COVID money. We will provide some really more in-depth briefings that are really exclusive to the fellow legislative nerds out there who I know are listening. And I've already gotten a couple of texts from people who are very excited. They're ready to get their nerd on, and we're ready to help you do that. So we really think that this will be a great opportunity for folks across the state, you know, in 286 Kansas school boards, rural, urban, east, west, north, south, that's all the directions, yes. To really become sort of our eyes and ears on the ground, and also the voice of your specific school district when we have these legislative issues that come up. You know, sometimes we have bills that are introduced that sometimes you just think, where did they get that? Why do they think that's happening? You know, you all, the local folks on the ground, are really the greatest resource that we have to say, you know, no, we're not. Yes, we already teach civics. You know, we have a lot of civic engagement in our classrooms, or we already teach kids how to balance a checkbook, or just, you know, some of these things that we tend to hear and that get brought up over and over again, or, you know, crazy new things that come up sometimes during our legislative sessions as they drag on. And so we hope that you will consider joining the Advocacy Network. There's no cost, but you will gain the admiration of your peers, and we will recognize you at the convention and through some other means. So we have some information on our website under the Advocacy tab about joining CAN, and we will also be continuing to promote that in our newsletters and on our social media sites. So please be sure to look for that information about the KASB Advocacy Network.
And the only thing I would maybe add to that is to stress the action part.
That's right.
This is intended to be a working group, because we give you a lot of information. We'll continue to do that. But what we're kind of looking for, people who want to be more active.
That's right.
In talking to their, you know, in building their own relationships with their local representatives, being a conduit for us about what you're hearing, being someone who can more directly interact with people, really, we hope, extend kind of our message at the local level. So some great people have already signed up. We're going to be continuing to do that really indefinitely. Can happen
That's
anytime.
Right.
But the more we can identify people this fall before the legislature starts, the better shape we'll be in knowing kind of who's out there and what people want to do. So, well, I think that kind of covers our outline. Is there any concluding thoughts anyone needs to make before we wrap up?
No, I'm looking forward to working with the Advocacy Network members and you know, go Chiefs, and I hope Salvi hits a couple of home runs.
Thank you for the obligatory sports Kansas reference.
Okay,
that sounds good. Okay, very good. Got that all taken care of. Thank you, everyone, for listening. As always, we welcome your comments, your questions, your feedback. Feel free to contact any of us with any issues about this, wanting to know about our network, or just anything else that you may be interested. Always happy to respond. Thank you, guys. We'll be talking soon.
Running a school district is more work than most people realize. From leading a diverse staff to protecting the health and safety of employees and students, the work of an educational leader is never done. It can be overwhelming to find solutions to the challenges facing a district, but you don't have to lead your schools alone. Kansas Board Solutions, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Kansas Association of School Boards, is here to help you find the solutions you need to support your students and staff effectively and efficiently. With a full suite of technology and insurance solutions, KBS offers an array of services to benefit your school district. We know districts continue to face a wide range of challenges as student needs change, staffing requirements evolve, districts' facilities age, and much more. As a wholly owned subsidiary of KASB, KBS fulfills its mission by keeping money in local schools instead of spending it on huge year-end bonuses or high-flying corporate retreats. All of this helps us achieve our goal of helping you build and run the best schools in the nation. With KBS, you are truly getting a partner in education that serves you with a purpose. Wondering what KBS offers and how you might use it? The answer is simple. If you're in need of a software, insurance, or resources solution, KBS should be your first call. Learn more at www.kasb.org/solutions.